Welcome into the 5 o'clock hour of this Friday edition of News on the Hill. I'm Brighton McConnell, substituting in for Andrew Stuckey. Thanks so much for tuning in. We've got a full 5 o'clock hour to come. A little bit later, Art Chansky's Sports Notebook. Also, the start of a big Final Four matchup between the North Carolina women's tennis team and number 4 seeded Georgia. We begin, though, with the local news headlines of the day, and that actually involves some sports off the top here, as UNC has announced yet another contract extension for one of its coaches this afternoon. Men's lacrosse head coach Joe Bresci has signed a 3-year contract extension. His deal was set to end this summer, so it now takes him through June 2026, leading the Tar Heels, on paper at least. And he's a Carolina alum, a title-winning coach. Bresci has been here 15 seasons, and even though the Heels had a bit of a down year this year and last year too, Bresci is the program's winningest head coach and has led them to 10 NCAA tournaments, as I mentioned, one of those ending in a national title for Carolina. It's not the first extension that has been signed within the last couple of months. As I said, a couple of other coaches received some this spring, including women's basketball head coach Courtney Banghart and the baseball head coach Scott Forbes. It is shaping up to be a busy, busy weekend across our community. There are so many events that are happening tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday. And if you want to get the full picture of exactly what will be going on, be sure to head to our local events calendar on chapelboro.com. One of the many events happening, though, was actually earlier today, as there was an official reopening ceremony for Blackwood Farm Park. If you haven't heard of it, it is the 152-acre site between Chapel Hill and Hillsboro. It was closed for a couple of years as Orange County constructed new facilities, expanded walking trails on that property, and renovated historic buildings from the former family farm. It was given to Orange County not that long ago, probably one of the newest parks out there. And now with those amenities, it's going to feel pretty special to folks. It is open 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. every single day now that that renovation is complete. And we had a reporter on scene for that ceremony. Looking forward to hearing some more coverage of that next week. Be sure to tune in to 97.9 The Hill. Orange County also recently announced that another facility and service will be brought online soon. This one, maybe not one to visit quite as frequently as Blackwood Farm Park, but the Waterstone Fire and EMS Station is going to be up and running, and they're going to be holding an open house before too long. It's a project of Orange County Emergency Services and the Orange Rural Fire Department. It's a new $7 million building that houses a litany of emergency vehicles with upgraded amenities. The public is invited to check it out the afternoon of Sunday, June 4th, for that open house. You can head to the county government website for more information on the event. Now, earlier this week, some other county services were examined by the public in a pretty in-person and direct way. If you remember, there were two major changes that were made about a year ago. One was that Jeff Niemann was elected as the latest district attorney for the region, and the other, Alliance Health, becoming the company in charge of the county employee health care. Niemann and Alliance Health at that time made promises to work toward a more equitable justice system and to address the Latino mental health resource crisis. And on Tuesday, a group called Justice United held a public accountability assembly to see what progress has been made on those commitments. 97.9 The Hill's Sierra Pfeiffer was in the room and had this report.
Around 300 people gathered in person and over Zoom at St. Thomas More on Tuesday for the Public Accountability Assembly. The room was filled with community members and groups from local churches. A band played music in Spanish as people filed in and turned on their translation headsets. The event was organized by Justice United, a group made up of about 20 churches, neighborhood groups, and organizations devoted to taking action against social justice issues affecting Orange County. They were there to make sure their agenda was being met. When Niemann ran for district attorney, it was the first time Orange County had a competitive DA race in over 20 years. Supervisor of the formerly incarcerated transition program, Tommy Green, said the community realized that there was an opportunity to enact change.
A year ago, when Jeff Niemann was a candidate, we invited him to our public assembly seeking to build a relationship of respect and accountability with him. we are here tonight to continue that relationship.
At Tuesday's meeting, Neiman went through each of the commitments he made earlier in the year, including supporting the growth of deflection and diversion programs, lowering bail bonds, providing relief for driver's license suspensions, and prioritizing treatment over prosecution for personal use drug possession charges.
In other words, the DA truly has the power to help someone find healing, another chance, or to incarcerate them, which has ripple effects on future work, housing, health, the ability to be a part of our community, and more. With so much power, it's important for the community to also have power and a voice, because this power can determine the course of people's lives.
Neiman gave specific examples of his commitments, like his support to the Orange County Justice Department's many diversion programs. After he finished speaking, Justice United members came up with a whiteboard to track his progress, giving a check under the in progress or complete columns under all of the commitments he made 6 months ago.
Diversion over prosecution for drugs. What did you hear? Yes. Relief for driver's license suspensions. And expunging records.
Following Neiman, Sean Schreiber, Alliance Health Executive Vice President and Chief Operating Officer, reported on the progress they have made so far working with Justice United. They are investing an initial $500,000 to address the Latino mental health crisis in Orange County by funding programs like the bilingual health treatment clinic, El Futuro.
We're able to make some funding increases to El Futuro that allows them to continue to employ two care managers who can help people navigate and get care in the system. We've also, and we believe this is part of a longer-term plan to bring El Futuro back to the community, we're able to put in meaningful rate increases, which actually, when we calculate out over the year, would mean almost 46% more funding to that organization. So we're really thrilled about their partnership and believe we can do good work there.
Along with supporting the return of El Futuro to the county, Alliance Health has started to identify other health service providers working in North Carolina and will begin negotiations to bring them to the local community.
Orange County is looking at building a large crisis and diversion center to deal with people with mental health issues. And we were asked to make sure if Alliance is at the table, which we fortunately are in the planning activities, to make sure we advocated for having culturally responsive and bilingual services available at the center.
The assembly was given in both English and Spanish, and community and St. Thomas More member, Diana Huerta, shared her story about why accessible bilingual care is so important.
Llevo más de la mitad de mi vida viviendo en este país. He experimentado depresión y ataques de pánico.
After migrating to North Carolina, far away from her family in Mexico, she says she's experienced both depression and panic attacks. In the midst of my crisis, I turned to El Futuro for help, Huerta said. But there's always a long waiting list. I've had to seek help through private therapists, but due to their high cost, I haven't been able to finish my treatment. To see the list of the exact commitments made by both Alliance Health and Neiman, you can visit our website. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Sierra Pfeiffer.
And we will take a look at our first 5 o'clock traffic report in just a few moments, but some other traffic news first. The town of Carrboro shared details today on NCDOT's upcoming repaving of Merritt Mill Road. That's going to take place over the next few months, but the initial steps will start next Tuesday, May 23rd. It's going to lead some contractors to be in the area on the road near Sunset Drive in that intersection, but Carrboro said all traffic will have access through the work zone during that first kind of phase. That is expected to last 2 weeks before the utility adjustments begin. That's going to lead to some more disruption in the area. And then the actual repaving by NCDOT is slated to begin mid-June or later in the summer. The end product, though, is going to be some bike lanes and some other nice amenities along Merritt Mill Road when it comes to the actual physical road. We were just talking about that with Carrboro Mayor Pro Tem Susan Romaine, if you want to go check out that conversation on chapelboro.com. Also, in other traffic news, there is a southern portion of UNC's campus that's going to be affected by a traffic closure next week. It's not that much of the campus. It's specifically near the business school. William Blythe Drive, which is a road off of Skipper Bowles Drive, will be closed to vehicle and foot traffic next week as a crane is put up. And that crane is going to be used as the expansion project to the Keenan Flagler Business School begins in the coming weeks. And time now for our sports report. We are not too far from UNC women's tennis starting their Final Four play against the number 4-seeded Georgia Bulldogs. Carolina won earlier this week against Texas in Orlando, so they match up with the Bulldogs today. It is their third straight season in the Final Four and the sixth appearance in UNC women's tennis program history. If they are able to get the win, they will play for the national title tomorrow. And waiting for them on the other side of the bracket will be the winner of either NC State or Stanford. It would be really interesting if the Wolfpack end up winning that one. Carolina lost to NC State in the ACC tournament just a few weeks ago. Whew, it would be fun to see those two teams rematching with a national title on the line. But Carolina has to get through Georgia first, and those Bulldogs have a great tennis program themselves. Doubles play starts at 5:30 in just a few minutes, so we'll have some updates as the hour goes on from Orlando. As we mentioned off the top of the show, Joe Bresci, the head coach of UNC men's lacrosse, has signed a contract extension. It is a 3-year extension, which means taking him through June 2026, since his contract was up at the end of this year. The men's lacrosse team still in action, which is a bit of a rarity. They've made the NCAA tournament 10 times under Bresci's leadership. The women's lacrosse team was in action still until their season ended last night. It was a very low-scoring affair at Dorrance Field, and UNC had the early lead but ended up going the final 35 minutes in their NCAA quarterfinal game without a goal, and it ended up costing them. After holding a 4-1 lead through three quarters, Carolina's offense completely sputtered, and number 5 Denver came back to win 5-4. It's the first time since 2017 that the Tar Heels will not appear in the Final Four for women's lacrosse. They end the season at a respectable 16-5, but with how good that program has been of late, some historical streaks were broken in there, and head coach Jenny Levy was saying that people were doubting them or criticizing them because of the inexperience of this team. But after the game last night, she said despite that turnover on the roster, she's taking away many positive moments with the team and feels like they were able to prove some people wrong. Here's what she had to say.
I think no one gave us a chance. Everyone, because of our graduation, everyone thought we were going to be terrible and wouldn't have a chance. So really proud. A, got out of the gates in February with a really young unit. Beat some teams that were in the tournament, whether it would be JMU or Florida, BC. I was really proud to be in the ACC championship game after a really good win against Syracuse. Really proud to be in the Final Eight with this crew. You know, we were probably the youngest group out there in the Final Eight this weekend as far as experience goes on the field. So we had a lot of new pieces out there all year, and they've just done a really good job. So really proud of them. You know, they've gotten better. They've played confidently. They've believed in each other. And there's a lot of teams that would like to be where we are today for sure.
That is UNC women's lacrosse head coach Jenny Levy speaking there after her team's 5-4 loss to Denver in the NCAA quarterfinals yesterday. Some better news, though. Unfortunately, their season is over, but 4 Tar Heels recognized by Inside Lacrosse on the women's side of that publication. They were named to the Air All-American team, and 4 of them ended up on the first team. That would be Brooklyn Walker-Welsh and Emily Knowles on the defensive side of Carolina's team this year. And then on the attacking side, Riley Casey and Caitlin Wurzberger earned All-American spots as well. Congratulations to that quartet. We have another Carolina team in action tonight besides women tennis. That would be baseball, but last night was a difficult one for the Diamond Heels. Clemson smacked them around pretty early, and Carolina's offense just could not keep up, falling 14-7. Starting pitcher Max Carlson struggled in his first game back in the number 1 starter role, but so did every single other pitcher for the Diamond Heels. Everybody who took the mound gave up at least 1 run last night in Carolina Blue, which is not a sustainable way to win a baseball game. Also of note for Carolina, star sophomore Vance Honeycutt missed last night's game, his 2nd one in a row. The first one was believed to be a suspension he was serving, but just before Thursday's game, the Tar Heels listed Honeycutt as day-to-day with a lower body injury. We'll see if the star outfielder can take the field tonight. No updates as of now for game two of the series, but first pitch in that one is coming up at 6 o'clock once we wrap things up here on News on the Hill. Carolina looking to snap Clemson's 10-game winning streak in the final series of the regular season. Let's continue with a look at some local news, specifically from the CHCCS School District. Tiffany Newsom, who is the principal of Rashkus Elementary School, announced that she is going to be leaving the position and leaving the community after 3 years leading Rashkus. She announced yesterday that she has accepted a faculty position at the University of North Texas and left a very heartfelt message to the Rashkus Elementary community. You can find that full message on CHCCS's social media pages, and of course, the Rashkus community knows how much Newsom is going to be missing them, but either way, congratulations to her on this new position. She will still be around for the next couple of weeks, and we know that the school year is certainly into its final stretch. With that comes the annual end-of-year awards that CHCCS awards administrators and its educators, and they announced a few of them within the last few weeks. Jamie West from McDougal Middle School is the assistant principal of the year in the district. Meanwhile, Robert Ballard, who is a CTE teacher at Chapel Hill High School, was named district-wide teacher of the year. And Minnie Goines from Sewell Elementary is the principal of the year. We were lucky enough to speak with her here in studio at 97.9 The Hill. Goines recently talked with us about why it's important to value people as well as the education process in her mind. Here's what she had to say.
I guess I would have to say the consistency on that teaching and learning and valuing people, seeing folks beyond the numbers. So while we have a certain number of staff members, a certain number of students, and even academic scores, my goal and my focus has always been, what about the people? What about who they are as a person beyond just a number, beyond just a classroom student, beyond just a teacher, and then making sure that that is highlighted and that my actions align with the valuing of people, but then also valuing teaching and learning throughout each and every day.
Once again, that is CHCCS Principal of the Year, Minnie Goines, speaking there. She leads at Sewell Elementary School. And if you want to revisit that full conversation with our own Andrew Stuckey, be sure to head to chapelboro.com and look for Speaking of Schools. Also included in that conversation was Assistant Principal of the Year, Jamie West. And for those who are not necessarily counting down the days to the end of the school year for Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools, it is going to be June 9th and likely here before we know it.